It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your calls here in a second. Just to follow up off of that soundbite that CeeLo just played, Aaron Boone on his weekly spot with John Boy and Jake Talking Yanks, their podcast. They do an excellent job and got a little, you know, testy there where Boone was defending, yet again, Boone defending one of his players, in this particular case, Volpe. And he got pretty animated there, BT, in that clip, going back at John Boy, saying, basically, lay off the kid. He's 22. Boone's got to realize this is New York, and this is also not the minor leagues. This is the big leagues. When you are brought up to the big leagues, I don't give a crap how old you are, it's fair game. This isn't kid gloves. It's not little league. There's no coddling that takes place in this town, Aaron. So as much as you may want Volpe to be protected, and as good as he may be at times, and by the way, I haven't even gotten on Volpe that much. I'm one of the guys who said that Volpe was going to be a superstar. Well, little do I know that Volpe continues to be inconsistent now in year two, which tells me that maybe he's not ready for the big leagues. Because if he's this inconsistent in his first year plus, then maybe he wasn't ready in the big leagues or for the big leagues. I'm not saying that he can't compete at this level. Obviously, he can. Mm-hmm. But enough. And he's also butchered some easy plays. So let's not make it like he's the best shortstop defensively in baseball. He's not. He may have won the Gold Glove. Fine. He makes some spectacular plays. He's not the best defensive shortstop. He's not even better than Lindor. That's number one. And that's not including, obviously, everybody else. He's very good, and he makes great plays. He's not the best defensive shortstop. So you're overrating that. And you can't get to defend his inconsistencies offensively. I don't care how old he is. He's here. He's the shortstop of the New York Yankees on a team that's trying to win a World Series. We're allowed to criticize him.
Mm-hmm. He hit .220 in June. He hit .235 in July. He's hitting .186 in August. That's a large chunk of baseball. When you said, and I remember, well, we just referenced it before about the, you know, Gunnar Henderson, Witt.
Yeah.
I said that you think Volpe's going to be a superstar.
I thought he was going to be a superstar. We're talking about top three in baseball with Volpe, Soto, Judge. Take mm-hmm. those three over anybody.
I remember that was the Dodgers
yes,
trio,
yeah,
Otani,
right.
Betts, and Freddie Freeman. I pushed back, and I really do like Volpe. I think he does a lot of things really well. I don't need to state what they are because I think most people know what they are. But he ain't Gunnar Henderson, and he's never going to be that. He's just not. He's never going to be Witt, who, if I'm starting a franchise tomorrow, that's the guy that I'm picking.
He's not Lindor.
No, he's not.
He's not Lindor.
He's not. He's not going to be a Corey Seager with that kind of easy power over. I don't think. Now the thing. Let me frame it this way. I know it's not apples to apples, but like if Aaron Boone has an issue, again, he's trying to protect the kid as long as you can, insulate him a little bit here. Whatever. Got testy. That's fine. He's got his back. I'm not going to go nuts.
Yeah.
We all know what it is.
But it just shows, like...
Well, that's what Aaron Boone does.
Yeah, I know, but that's part of the issue, no?
Yeah, but we always... anytime he does it, we're like, all right,
whatever. Like they're little babies. He's not mm-hmm. managing Staten Island. This is the New York Yankees.
But we read right through. We don't give it any credence. I mean, whenever he covers up for a player, we call him
right.
for it. I mean, we do it, so it's not working with us. I mean, right. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. You know, maybe in his own locker room, that gets right. him a couple of points. All right, that's fine. I get that. I don't begrudge you for trying. That's your style. It wouldn't be my style necessarily, but it's his. So I am going to position this differently. Instead of Anthony Volpe, again, who I like, but I am worried mm-hmm. that the ceiling's not nearly as high as we thought it could be. Instead of being a young shortstop, which he is, if Anthony Volpe were a young quarterback with either the Jets or the Giants,
right,
and he showed this type of inconsistencies, what would we be saying?
Mm.
We'd be saying he's a bust.
Right, after year two. Now, obviously, baseball is different.
It's deep into year two. So, you know, Zach Wilson, you get a year grace period. Sam yeah. Darnold, we'll give you a year. You know, Danny Joe, we'll give you a year. We'll give you a year to find it out and find yourself and get used to the speed and hopefully get an old line in front of you. And there's so many reasons why young quarterbacks fail or succeed. Coaching, talent, mm-hmm. we know that. It's not just the player. It's not just him processing what's in front of him or being accurate. There's other things you can't control. So it's a little bit tricky to identify, you know, who failed whom or whatever. And I know it's not a shortstop to quarterback thing. It's not a perfect comparison. But think about, you know, just assessing his play so far, he's statistically, and he's been wildly inconsistent.
The one thing I will say, he's definitely been inconsistent. There's no way. I mean, he started out the year like he was going to be one of the best players in the sport, and then he fell off, to your point. But by almost every statistic, he is improved from last season. Which
it's
is
not
what
saying
you,
much, though.
No, no, but, well...
I mean, think about the starting point. What are you, 212?
I'm just saying you want to improve. I'm giving you everything. You want to see improvement from a 22-year-old kid to 23, year two. You want to see improvement. In last year, 541 at-bats, 159 games played. He had 113 hits. This year, he's already got 127.
Okay.
Same amount of doubles to date. He's only had 514 at-bats compared to 541. Now, the power numbers are down. Triples are more. He had 7 this year. He had 4 last year.
Yeah, power's down. That's part of the reason why the average is up, which I'm okay with.
He had 21 homers last year and 60 ribbies. He's now got 11 homers and 46 ribbies.
Yep.
Stolen bases is going to end up having more. He had 24 all of last year. He's got 20 this year. Walks, he's probably a little bit down in that. He had 52 last year. He's got 33 this year.
That's just not a lot of walks at all.
But strikeouts are down as well. He had 167 last year, only 124 so far this year. Now, again, he's still got a month to go.
Yeah.
Where are those numbers going to add up?
Probably very close with the strikeouts.
Okay, batting average is hitting 40 points higher.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was 209 last year.
209?
And he's 247 this year. Now, still, he's got to project like a guy's going to hit at least 280, 290. You can't hit 250 in play.
No.
Okay. On base, a little bit up.
Better. He's in the twos. Yeah, he's in the low threes now.
He was 283. He's 297 now.
He's still below three.
OPS, he was 666 last year, 680 this year.
I mean, that's.
So, point is.
That's a push. 666 to 680.
Right, but point is, almost by all other accounts, he's shown at least incremental improvement. Now, the problem is it's inconsistent from year one to year two, sure, but he's shown some improvement. And more worrisome would be the inconsistency in season. Like, yes. I don't get how you can hit 350 or whatever he did for a month or the first 2 months and then fall off the last couple. Just watching him. And the crappy thing for the Yankees is he should project as their leadoff hitter, and it should be Volpe, Soto, Judge. That would be a potent lineup. We saw it play out that way. So what is he? And I don't understand why Boone's protecting him so much.
What do you think, whatever his apex comes to be? I still think
he's going to be a stud myself. Okay, I just love the way he plays the game.
I do too.
Hitting the ball hard the other way.
No, I see
speed,
some really good
things.
He's
got pop. Like, yeah, he could defend, obviously.
Give me some numbers. Like, when we look back in 20 years, Volpe's best season. Give me an average, give me an OPS, and give me home runs.
I mean, that's hard to predict.
I know, but you said you think he's going
to
be a stud. So.
I'll say he's going to sit around 18 to 22 home or something like that. Is that close enough?
So again, I'm talking peak Volpe.
Yeah, I still don't think he's going to be a big-time power hitter. Because I want the average up.
Something, you don't think he's going to hit 30 one year? I mean,
don't think he's going to be. He's hitting 11 this year. He's going to be a 30 home run guy.
How many did he hit last year? 24?
21.
He hit 21 last year. We just didn't even know what was going on. You can't hit 30?
I'm going to give you his best season.
I'm saying when we look back at the absolute apex of his career, what do you think it will be? Home runs. I mean, if your answer is 18 to 22,
I don't think he's
going to
be. I don't think he's going
to
be a 30 home run guy. And if he is, it's going to be a problem. Here's what I want him to be. You'd love between 20 and 25 homers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to get there consistently, but I'd love to see that and an average around 300.
Yeah.
All right, you don't have to hit over 300. Can you hit 300? That's what I want him to do. The way he hits, and especially if he's getting on in front of Soto and Judge, I want him to hit the ball with authority the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he needs to, you could pull one, of course, with some power as he's shown. But I think Volpe projects as a high average, good speed, great defender, going to score a ton of runs, and hit. I don't think he's going to be a power guy.
I don't disagree with that, but I'd like to know why you think he projects as a high average hitter. He hasn't shown any evidence of that. He didn't really do that in the minors either.
All right, fair enough. But then
project all what? What he did when he was playing for in perfect game? Or at Del Barton?
Right,
he
isn't
hit in the minors either.
Is he going to be a 250 hitter?
He better be, otherwise he just didn't deliver.
Is he going to be a 280 hitter?
Well, I've got some numbers for you. I jotted a couple. Like, if you say, all right, what's going to represent his best year? I would think, and again, to reiterate, I'm a fan, but I am a little worried.
Right.
I mean, he's not flashed anything sustainable.
I know.
I would say, I don't think he's three. I don't think he even hit. I could see 285, 289, 290, you know, 35 steals, you know, 30-plus doubles, 22, 24, 25 bombs, and an OPS of about 820, 815.
And that's a high OPS at 90.
I understand that, but look at all the star shortstops.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that, I mean, he hasn't done that yet, not even close.
Well, I'm saying that's why I prefaced it with, like, his best season. And to me, you know, when Volpe, who's been playing a lot of baseball from, you know, young age as a major leaguer, he plays every day. I mean, if he doesn't, like, even by next year, you know, you're playing 150 games a year, you get to that 450, 500 game threshold. If you're not showing signs of being an average hitter, you're not going to be an average hitter. You just don't have it in you.
You know, you
just got to roll out of bed and be a different player.
I'm not trying to compare him to Jeter, but that's what I would want. Not obviously Jeter, like the intangibles. I'm talking about statistically. I don't need the power from Volpe. You're going to get a little more power than Jeter probably, right?
Jeter's career high
was 24 at 23, but basically sat around
12, 13, 15.
15 and 18. Like, all right, so maybe you say a little bit higher there, but the average is not going to be anywhere near. Jeter was a career 310 hitter in 20 years. I mean, Volpe's not going to be that, but you'd hope, all right, would you sign for 280?
For lifetime? I'd sign right now for 280.
No, I'm saying average career. 280, average year per career. Mm-hmm. 280, 23, 75 ribbies, over 100 runs scored.
Okay.
25 stolen bases.
Question
now,
for
that's
you
not a superstar.
No, it's not. I got a question for you before I answer it. Is Soto retained?
Well, you're right. That
because
is a great question.
Because if Soto's back, then yes. I can put
but
him
if
in a one
not,
hole. I think
they project more from him, as I did early on. Like, the Volpe that we saw in the beginning of the year, that's what I expected from him. He shows...
Well, what the hell happened?
I don't know. I think that's what John Boy was asking Boone, and Boone's defending him. I mean...
Yeah, I know. And by the way, Sal, his minor league average... Now, the OPS was good. 262 minor league average, over 1,000 at-bats. 227 so far in the majors, over 1,000 at-bats. I know it's early. I'm rooting for him. I love his makeup. I know he's never going to be overwhelmed. I could see him being clutch in October. I think he's got a slow heartbeat. He runs. I think he's very likable in terms of a teammate. Mm-hmm. He's pretty, you know, I know he's botched a few easy ones with the leather, but I think he's a really, really good shortstop, if not great defender. Yeah, he can run. He does a lot of things well. He doesn't seem to do anything great. Your first round pick, you got to do something great.
Yeah. And the Yankees have had outside of Judge, we've had a lot of hype and a lack of substance when it comes to developing these guys. Anyway, interesting conversation there with John Boy and Boone going back and forth. PT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the calls. James is calling from Midland Park. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Actually, Middletown, but that's okay.
Middletown, okay, good.
Hey, just wanted to touch base on the Aaron Rodgers thing. With all the BS going on in NFL anyway, where you can't even touch the quarterback anymore. Let's just put red shirts on these guys for the preseason, right? Let's get them out there, get their reps in, play thud, you know, almost like a two-hand touch on these guys. And they're meaningless games anyway. Let them get out there and get the reps.
Right, but then what's the point of even playing? And it's not a bad idea, James, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, James.
I don't think it's an awful idea, but what's that accomplishing then?
Well, I mean, think about it. Remember, was it I think it may have been the Eagles game. I might be crossing wires here. Remember when Zach hurt his knee in the preseason a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Non-contact.
Right.
I mean, let's not make it seem like every injury comes from being hit. Matter of fact, most of them don't.
Right.
You know, you think about those non-contact for the quarterback. So,
yeah, I don't.
Even if you have a red jersey on and you know you can't get hit if you, you know, leave the pocket and just try to shift on a dime and cut past somebody. So now, Zach's knee didn't blow up. I actually thought it did in real time. But he's just a small example where it's not just about getting hit.
I don't believe that it's just about protecting everybody from injury. It's football. Like, that's the nature of the beast. In this case with Rodgers, at least from my perspective, when I talk about not wanting him to play in the preseason, it's because of his age and what happened last year. And just that I don't think there's any good that could come out of having Rodgers play in an otherwise meaningless preseason. But in general, the sport does have a problem because they do play preseason games. And a lot of times starters at least get in the games and you do risk injury. But it's not like they're all getting hurt here. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. But the games don't mean anything. They used to mean something as far as, all right, here we go. Third preseason game. You know, you build up week one, week two preseason. Week three basically is the dry run or dress rehearsal. And then week four, everybody, you're sitting out. And
final roster spot, special teams.
So there was no need for week four.
No.
But what was week one and week two and week three has changed. So now,
I know it has.
Now they've all become like week fours.
I know.
I don't have the right answer. And then because they don't practice hard or play hard in the preseason or really get ready for the regular season. So when the lights turn on and you kick it off at 1 o'clock come Sunday or Thursday night come, you know, whatever, Thursday night kickoff, they're not as crisp as they should be for the regular season games that count. And they're all on an even playing field. They're all still sloppy and still finding their way. That makes for a bad product, but nobody cares because the NFL's only getting bigger and bigger. Everybody's eating it up, betting on it, fantasy-wise, watching it, going to games, whatever.
It's still consumed. You're right. I mean, when you put that parlay in first night, you know, yeah, hopefully you calculate. Yeah, it could be penalties. I mean, hopefully you know what you're doing. But, you know, the sloppiness is often overlooked because it's passion. I mean, but when you really get to it, the first month of football, the last 5, 7-ish, 10 years, it has taken a big drop.
So how do they fix it?
I don't know.
And do they even care to fix it?
I don't think they can.
And do you think they care to fix it?
No, I think they care to get an 18th game.
So
that's all they care about.
They'll add another game.
100% that's coming. No doubt. Yep. And they'll throw the players union a bone by chiseling away one of the preseason games. So instead of having
it'll be
four,
two preseason games.
Yeah. It'll get chiseled down.
It went from four to three.
Yep, they'll go from three to two, and they'll tack on one on the back end that counts. Watch.
I mean, at least now you're limiting. The quality of play early on is still not getting fixed, but you are eliminating one more game that means nothing.
Nothing. You are, and you're also creating a little more wiggle room for a slow start. Again,
because you're adding the extra game. Yeah,
I mean, you know, now, and they have, you see all the stats. Like, the last time a team started 1-5 and made the play, you see all those stats that pop up over the course of the year.
It used to be you started 0-2, you were toast.
0-2, 0-3, 1-4, it just trends worse and worse. But yeah, I mean, if there's an 18th game and you're 1-4, you got a better chance percentage-wise. I don't know how great it is. I can't quantify it, but I know common sense. You got more of a chance to be a playoff team if you get your act together with an 18th game and you're 1-4 versus 1-4 with a 17-game schedule.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls on the side. We'll get to the Giants when we come back.
When this happened,
it's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked about it on The Fan.
Manny calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first wide open, touchdown Giants, in the left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call of the day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Mike is in Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, Mike?
Sala doesn't know the answer of Rodgers playing yet because Rodgers hasn't made that decision. If anybody thinks it's anybody but Rodgers' decision, they're out of their mind.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's Robert Sala's the head coach. And if Robert Sala said that he didn't want Rodgers to play in the preseason, then why should Rodgers even contemplate playing?
You don't think with Rodgers on the team, he makes more of the decisions for himself than Sala does?
But don't you think that's a problem?
It is a problem. Rodgers is a problem.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go that far that Rodgers is a problem. Why do you say he's a problem? Just because he's the one calling the shots?
His arrogance is what just is going to be the ruination of him.
All right, so let me ask you this here, Mike. Stick with us. All right, so again, somebody else is not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I could just tell, and that's fine. He's got a lot of detractors out there.
No, I actually was a Rodgers fan.
You were, which means you're no longer a Rodgers fan, and that's fine. I could care less. Yeah. What I'm saying, though, the arrogance, that's very easy to call this up here at the Fan and say, Rodgers is arrogant. That's going to derail the season. Can you be a little more direct, a little bit more substantive? Like, what do you mean? It's lazy.
He comes across as a me player, not a team player.
Okay, give me a direct, tangible reason why you believe that outside of the 2 days in Egypt, I agree
and
with that. What else?
But even last year, he comes to a new team and he's got to go to a hideaway retreat. This and that. Instead of embracing
he didn't miss anything last year.
And,
He didn't miss anything. Remember, he went in the darkness before he decided that he was going to go to the Jets.
Right, and he came out and he embraced being here, as BT said before, going all these games, taking his teammates to Broadway plays, doing everything he can for the teammates. And if you ask his teammates, they love him. All the teammates love him. As a matter of fact, almost to the point where they look up to him as opposed to the head coach. BT and Sal on the Fan. There you have it, the call of the day. Let's get back to the phones, BT. Been a little while here. 888-808-1019. I will say before we do that, we've been talking now a little bit of everything. We obviously started the show talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and the preseason. In case you missed anything, check out on the Free Odyssey app. We worked in some Mets. Their big win last night, Francisco Alvarez, his importance moving forward. We've done some Yankees with Volpe now off of the Boone getting a little testy with John Boy. Talking about the inconsistencies of Anthony Volpe. Also, tonight, WFAN night out at the stadium, and I know you'll be there.
Yeah, I might have to ask Booney about Volpe myself.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works.
I'll be right by the dugout. I'll be on the field.
Make sure, well, you're going to be on the field. Now, I do want to say, and it's obviously John and Susan, T-shirt giveaway night, first 15,000 fans for that. John's going to be in the booth, fourth and fifth inning. When they introduce you, I mean, I hope it's...
I don't expect much.
No, no, but I hope it's... From the BT and Sal show, Brandon Tierney.
I would agree with that. I'm with
Not
you on
just
that.
Brandon Tierney or BT.
I agree.
I mean, you got to represent the show.
I agree. I'm not pushing back on that. I agree.
Let me know how I'm going to have somebody record it. Make
well, we're bringing our in-house production crew here. It's going to be recorded by us.
No, oh, okay, right. That's
right.
Looking forward to that.
I might have to check the script. I might have to get, you know, the what's the consent? You know how certain things in the contract? If I agree. It should be the BT and Sal show.
No, actually, that would be cool. I was just kind of teasing. Yeah, you're the one out there. No, it should be from WFAN.
I mean, you highlight me because I'm out there, but I am out there because we do a show, BT and Sal.
Oh, Dove was telling me you used to get on Tiki a little bit if you didn't mention the both of you in the show.
Oh, I mean, I did. No, I did.
Well,
I mean,
fair. It's a Tiki and Tierney show. You should have been.
100% right. I used to get on Tiki to the point where, in a good way, I would make him say Tiki and Tierney when he was doing these games on Fox, doing the football game. I swear to God. And I remember the first time, Dove, you weren't with us. This was down the hall. We were doing the national stuff. And I'm like, I think it may have been the first game. Yes, it was the Bucks game. Was it the Daniel Jones game? Now that I think about it. It may have been, but he was doing a game with Rondé. That was the first time he ever did a Giants game. I'm like, you better talk about the show. And, you know, I don't mean inundate the audience with the show, but you better get a Tiki and Tierney reference. Right. And there's like fourth quarter, time's ticking. I'm like, he didn't do it.
He's probably been wearing the pressure of it all game
long. He got it in.
What did he say?
It was something about, of course, you know, I was critical of Eli during the week or whatever. And he's like, you know, this is a situation. I think it was something. He did a great job. Something along the lines of, you know, this is a situation where my partner, you know, BT, Tiki, and Tierney, he's been saying that, you know, Eli needs to whatever. Something like that.
That's great.
And he used this as a good entry to get
All right. So I like that. So I trust that you'll represent the show properly.
I will.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Mike is in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Mike-o.
Hey, what's going on, Sal and BT? How's everything, guys?
How are you, Mike?
Great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Here, the whole talk about Volpe is, you know, beginning of the year, he was probably top five of the young rookie shortstops. You know what? This guy's got carte blanche. I mean, last year he got to play all year without any pressure at all. And he got to hit 200 at the end of the games last year. And the same with this year. The guy is not consistent. He's not consistent at all. And you know what? The sad thing about it is you have another guy who the Yankees don't have anymore, and Andujar, who was probably should have won Rookie of the Year in 2018 and then got screwed over, got hurt. And you know what? The Yankees never gave this guy a legit shot. BT, you played. You know what it's like when you get to put yourself into that lineup any day.
Oh, hold on a second. Now, hold on. Two things. Yeah. Number one, Andujar is irrelevant to the Volpe conversation.
Yep, not a shortstop. They put him in the outfield as third base. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Go ahead. Number two.
Come on.
Oh, you got to take a shot.
Come on.
I was going to actually say the same thing. I was going to say the thing. Please don't equivocate my menial collegiate career to actually try to hit this filthy stuff that these studs face every night. No. I was thinking both things. But anybody can have this opinion, not just me.
Right.
When you are penciled in there every night, you should loosen up. And one thing that Volpe knows is that he's not going to get pulled, which is not a bad thing. So the fact that he's not... he has not really delivered consistent results for anything more than a couple of weeks at a time. It worries me.
You know, that was one of the things I was watching during the break, because we only heard that clip before that John Boy, that CeeLo played of John Boy and Aaron Boone getting a little testy. John Boy's point was not looking to bench Anthony Volpe or jettison Anthony Volpe. It was just like you talked maybe about giving him a little bit of a rest, but then Jazz went down. I guess the point is giving him a breather.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you got to try to do something. If he continues to struggle for months, if he's not the same player, like,
yeah,
you got to get him going. I do think it's imperative. I look at Volpe the same way you said earlier about Alvarez and how he could be that difference impact bat for the Mets. That's how I look at Volpe. We talk about lengthening the lineup and what Austin Wells could be and the addition of Jazz and bringing back Stanton healthy or what Verdugo was doing at the leadoff spot. If Anthony Volpe is producing at a high level like he was earlier in the year, that could take the Yankees to another stratosphere. Like, they, to me, that's what they need. Their best lineup is Volpe, Soto, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be able to unlock that right now, but, I mean, along the way, it's just been leaving Volpe leaving him out to dry here.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, it does make it easier writing his name down when he's catching the baseball. And again, I know he's botched a couple of easy ones uncharacteristically the last couple of weeks here, but, you know, again, is he Ozzie Smith? No. You said he's not even Lindor right now, and I don't necessarily disagree. But
I'm not even close.
No, but he's not a liability catcher. Right. So, like, if you struggle, especially at the shortstop position behind the dish and even the center field to a lesser extent, more so back in the day, if you catch the baseball at those positions, you can live with some fluctuations in the batter's box.
Which is fine. So then that's what they're trying to do. But
Which is fine.
But let's not make it like the offense hasn't been a big issue, because it has been.
It's been a big issue. Oh, no.
And Volpe's a part of that because he projected to be a top guy.
He's been a disappointment. He has been an issue. It's not May. It's almost September 1st here. And there's been a little teeny tick up in most of the numbers, but when you started so low, he had 209 a year ago. His on-base percentage is for both seasons below 300, below 30%.
Well, what is he? Now, if I ask you what he is, I mean, he's not Ray Ordonez defensively. And
he's a better hitter than Ray with more pop. He's got more pop.
Goodness gracious, I hope so, BT. But I'm saying, like, what is his strength? Outside of forget defense for a second, what's the identity of Volpe? Is he a high average hitter?
No.
Is he a high on base guy?
No.
Is he a high slugging guy? Is he a shortstop that hits with power?
He could be.
Well, what is he?
Well, I mean, he did hit some 20 something last year.
Yeah, he's got 11 this year.
I think he's got now there's like plus. I think he's got, I'm not even going that far. He's got good power, and I do think he's got plus speed. So when you're not on base that much, he should have 40 steals.
But he's also got,
by the end of the season.
Understood. But you also say he's got good power. Like, he's got 11 homers.
But he hit 20-something last year.
Understood.
And he showed power in the minors.
All right, but if he hit, I don't care then if he was hitting 220 this year and still had consistent power numbers. For a guy who you're saying one of his great strengths offensively is that he's got power.
I'm not saying great.
I'm
not saying great strength.
Right.
I'm not saying great.
Well, what is his greatest strength? Speed?
Speed.
And defense.
Yeah.
That's great, but you need more.
I agree.
So
in the first round,
okay,
you do.
So then what is it? Is he going to be a high average guy?
No, I don't think he's going to be a high average guy.
That we're 2 years in and we still don't know what he is.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, think about this, and I'm sure there's some players that would fit this bill, but how many players didn't hit for a high average in the minors, didn't hit for a high average their first 2 years in the pros, and then suddenly blossomed into a high average hitter?
So he's got to be
common sense.
Right, so he's got to be a 250, 25 home run guy.
Yeah, and like 28, 30 steals and gold glove-ish defense.
That to me would be disappointing.
The 250 would be disappointing.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell me the OPS is low 800s, I can live with it. If you tell me the OPS is low 700s, that's not emblematic of a first round pick.
280, 25 homers.
I'll take 280 tomorrow. If you tell me he's going to 280
like
the rest of his career, I will cut myself.
I know.
I will sign that in blood. Right. I will take that now.
I still think that's short of what at least it felt the expectations to be, and what I believe the expectations to be after seeing glimpses of far better than that.
Yes, I agree with what we thought he would be based on when he won the job in spring.
Sure.
280 would have been like,
yeah. Right.
But based on what we've seen as a pro, 280 seems ambitious.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up on the phones and also mention the Giants. Remember, we got Evan and Tiki coming up live from Giants camp when we say goodbye at 2 o'clock. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki coming up next. Live from Giants camp. You know, to me, BT, the Giants thing is simple this year. We've talked about it already. We'll continue to talk about it. It's the year of Daniel Jones. That's it. We've had these going into the season make or break years for Daniel Jones, you know, multiple times before. But this has to be officially the make or break year. Anything else, like, yeah, you get excited about neighbors or seeing what the defense can do and Dable in another year and how, you know, competitive the Giants can be with a tough schedule. Those will all be fun things to watch. But ultimately, it all comes down to the quarterback and what Daniel Jones is and what he can be this year.
Mm-hmm. I also, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's not true. Of course it does. It applies there. He's the quarterback. He's got a lot to prove and all that stuff with the contract. But I want to see how Shane drafted. I want to see that. I want to see how we drafted this. Right. I don't mean neighbors. Neighbors is going to be a stud.
Right.
I mean the other draft picks. The draft picks from a year ago. Where are they at? The progression from... You know, Thibodeau, you know, what does he do? The trade for Burns was really good.
Right, but how is that now going to loosen up Thibodeau in another level? Can he take his game to another level and be more consistent this year?
You'd hope so. I think the Giants, if the division was a little weaker, like the Eagles are loaded, and Dallas, even though they get in their own way when it's really time to do damage, Dallas is going to be a really good regular season team. They just are.
Right.
So you start the season, lose the third best team in the division, well... Could be the Commanders. It could be the Giants. I mean, I don't know. I think it's very, very close. They'll probably split this year like they always do. I think the Commanders might actually have a little more talent. They made some interesting moves, but on offense.
Right, and at least for them, like, you know what it's about. New head coach, new young quarterback.
There you go.
The way that it should be.
Yeah.
And with the Giants, it's not. It's, you know, a relatively new head coach with the same old quarterback that we still don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't you rather be in the Commanders' position right now? I'm not saying that they're going to be better than the Giants.
Of course.
But a new, and I don't even like their head, like Dan Quinn, I wouldn't want to hire, period.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, they did. And they have Jaden Daniels, a young, promising, top rookie quarterback. All right, well, that's going to be their storyline to see develop, how the new head coach does with the young quarterback. What can the Commanders be? With the Giants, it's, again, year six, Daniel Jones, the primary story. I'm not saying there aren't other interesting things or important things, but that's the primary story again. It's all about Daniel Jones.
Well, at least I'm looking at something here. I got an email this morning. Some of the 2024 game day giveaways for the Giants for the 100th season. I'm
going
to give them
to you. We have anything? I'm going to that Thursday night game. What do we got? Am I getting a bobble or what?
Well, it's not every game. That's that's the Dallas game,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
All right, hold on.
Come on, Thursday night. Got to be something special,
October,
Thursday night football.
Washington, Tampa, Saints. No.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The Vikings game, everybody gets a 100th season commemorative coin. Looks really nice.
Okay.
I'm sure it's
that's
made
the opener.
Well.
Yeah.
On October 13th against the Bengals, Tom Coughlin bobblehead.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
is
one.
It red-faced Coughlin bobblehead?
No. You mean when he was in Green Bay?
Yeah, no.
Okay. First 25,000 fans get that. The next one's against the aforementioned Commanders, November 3rd. LT bobblehead.
That's a sick one.
Yeah.
Okay.
A
what else?
Trace of white powder somewhere on the face or no?
Jesus. BT.
What?
I mean, that's horrible.
I'm just asking. Yeah, that was a little much. Then they've got the, I don't want to go on a tangent on LT.
Who else you got?
I don't know. But I think I almost have to.
Was that? Didn't you get to know LT well?
No, I met him a few times. The last time I saw LT, I was playing golf at Spook Rock, where he plays a lot. He's a really good golfer.
Where is that? New Jersey?
Wait, actually, that may be on the New York side. I don't know. Wherever it is. It's not too...
Poor LT catching strays
well,
here.
Well, I mean, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I was with a few buddies, massive Giants fans, and LT was sitting at the bar after we finished up a round, and he was just, you know, he's such a big hole. Yeah, have you ever been in his actual presence?
Yes.
Oh, at the... recently, right? At the...
I remember the first and maybe only time was when he was in studio with Francesa back at the old place in Astoria.
Okay.
he came in one day.
Massive man. Yeah. And he was just sitting there. He didn't look like he really wanted to be bothered. And we used to have the same age. And so I had met him a few times.
Yeah.
Don't profess to know him at all.
Right.
I probably don't even know who I am. I mean, I met him a few times. And my buddy's like, doesn't LT, don't you guys have to say? I'm like, I'm not bothering him, man. Look at him. Yeah. Does he look like he wants to be bothered? And maybe he would have been cordial. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been. But, and I'm going to go on a little 20-second tangent here. I probably shouldn't. The thing about LT that bothers me, all right, is that he is glorified for being one of the three best football players of all time. you know, LT, Jerry Rice, Brown, but not a good person, man. I don't care what anybody says. He's not a good guy. Have you followed what's happened to him off the field?
I mean, about the young girls?
Yeah. So let me get this straight. Giant fans, they had no problem calling us up when I was saying that Trevor Bauer should at least get a look when you actually follow up and look into the legal aspect of what was, you know, surrounding him. And Lawrence Taylor gets a free pass for multiple indiscretions.
Here's the thing.
Where's the consistency?
I don't think it's fair to say that the Giant fans can't enjoy the greatest player to ever put on a Giants uniform and one of the greatest players ever in the sport because they didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the bad people. They're just rooting for their team. He was a player on their team. Now, you want to say, is it right to just turn a blind eye and ignore the reality? Maybe not morally, but it's not fair to sports fans who care about our sports to not celebrate or embrace the greatness of Lawrence Taylor, the player.
And by the way, I'm not saying that they shouldn't give out the bobblehead. I'm not saying that.
I know what you're saying.
I swear to God, I'm not. It's just like, you know,
but it's
Lawrence Taylor gets a pass from everybody.
I don't know about that.
I mean, he does.
You think he gets a pass?
He's still playing golf. I mean, he's didn't seem.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Go to prison?
No, I'm not going down
right,
there. Definitely not saying that. But unless he did something that was found to be obviously wrong.
Different story. Yeah.
But it's amazing how, like, Lawrence Taylor, I don't know. You get a little separation, and maybe some people do in their own way, but, man, he was a dark figure.
He's clearly made a ton of mistakes.
I know, and they are seemingly all ignored.
But get the bobblehead. What day is that again? Go out there and get the LT bobblehead.
That's November 3rd.
All right.
Then there's a salute to service scarf, and then there's a Frank Gifford bobblehead.
There you go.
Giveaway.
Right. I'm looking forward to the Giants. I can't wait to go to the game Thursday night against the Cowboys. Looking forward to the season. Looking forward to Evan and Tiki coming up next from Giants camp. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove, Zoo as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m.
In traffic and need to vent, dial the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki coming up next, live from Giants camp. You know, to me, BT, the Giants thing is simple this year. We've talked about it already. We'll continue to talk about it. It's the year of Daniel Jones. That's it. We've had these going into the season make or break years for Daniel Jones, you know, multiple times before. But this has to be officially the make or break year. Anything else, like, you know, you get excited about neighbors or seeing what the defense can do and Dable in another year and how, you know, competitive the Giants can be with a tough schedule. Those will all be fun things to watch. But ultimately, it all comes down to the quarterback and what Daniel Jones is and what he can be this year.
Mm-hmm. I also, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say that that's not true. Of course it does. It applies there. He's the quarterback. He's got a lot to prove and all that stuff with the contract. But I want to see how Shane drafted. I want to see that. I want to see how we drafted this. I don't mean neighbors. Neighbors are going to be a stud.
Right.
I mean, the other draft picks. The draft picks from a year ago, where are they at? The progression from, you know, Thibodeau, you know, what does he do? The trade for Burns was really good.
Right, but how is that now going to loosen up Thibodeau in another level? Can he take his game to another level and be more consistent this year?
You'd hope so. I think the Giants, if the division was a little weaker, like the Eagles are loaded, and Dallas, even though they get in their own way when it's really time to do damage, Dallas is going to be a really good regular season team. They just are.
Right.
So you start the season, who's the third best team in the division? Well, could be the Commanders. It could be the Giants. I mean, I don't know. I think it's very, very close. They'll probably split this year like they always do. I think the Commanders might actually have a little more talent. They made some interesting moves, but on offense.
Right, and at least for them, like, you know what it's about. New head coach, new young quarterback.
There you go.
The way that it should be.
Yeah.
And with the Giants, it's not. It's, you know, a relatively new head coach with the same old quarterback that we still don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't you rather be in the Commander's position right now? I'm not saying that they're going to be better than the Giants.
Of course.
But a new, and I don't even like their head, like Dan Quinn, I wouldn't want to hire, period.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, they did. And they have Jaden Daniels, a young, promising, top rookie quarterback. All right, well, that's going to be their storyline to see develop, how the new head coach does with the young quarterback. What can the Commanders be? With the Giants, it's, again, year six, Daniel Jones, the primary story. I'm not saying there aren't other interesting things or important things, But that's the primary story again. It's all about Daniel Jones.
Well, at least they, I'm looking at something here. I got an email this morning. Some of the 2024 game day giveaways for the Giants for the 100th season. I'm
going to
give them
to you. We have anything? I'm going to that Thursday night game. What do we got? Am I getting a bobble or
it's
what?
Well, it's not every game. That's that's the Dallas game,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Come on, so Thursday night. Got to be something special October, Thursday night football.
Washington, Tampa, Saints. No. Oh, so, okay. The Vikings game, everybody gets a 100th season commemorative coin. Looks really nice.
Okay.
I'm sure it's
that's
made
the opener.
Well.
Yeah.
On October 13th against the Bengals, Tom Coughlin bobblehead.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
is
one.
Is it red-faced Coughlin bobblehead?
No. You mean when he was in Green Bay?
Yeah, no.
Okay. First 25,000 fans get that. The next one's against the aforementioned Commanders, November 3rd. LT bobblehead.
That's a sick one.
Yeah.
Okay.
A
what else?
Trace of white powder somewhere on the face or no?
Jesus. BT.
What?
I mean, that's horrible.
I'm just asking. Yeah, that was a little much. Then they've got the, I don't want to go on a tangent on LT.
Who else you got?
I don't know. But I think I almost have to.
Was that? Didn't you get to know LT well?
No, I met him a few times. The last time I saw LT, I was playing golf at Spook Rock, where he plays a lot. He's a really good golfer.
Where's that? In Jersey?
Wait, actually, that may be on the New York side. I don't know. Wherever it is. It's not too...
Poor LT catching strays
I mean, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I was with a few buddies, massive Giants fans, and LT was sitting at the bar after we finished up our round, and he was just, you know, he's such a big hole. Have you ever been in his actual presence?
Yes.
Oh, at the... recently, right? At the...
I remember the first and maybe only time was when he was in studio with Francesa back at the old place in Astoria.
Okay.
He came in one day.
Got to meet him then. Massive man. Yeah. And he was just sitting there. He didn't look like he really wanted to be bothered. And we used to have the same agent. So I had met him a few times. Don't profess to know him at all.
Right.
I probably didn't even know who I am. I mean, I met him a few times. And my buddy's like, yo, doesn't LT, don't you guys have to say? I'm like, I'm not bothering him, man. Look at him. Yeah. Does he look like he wants to be bothered? And maybe he would have been cordial. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been. But, and I'm going to go on a little 20-second tangent here. I probably shouldn't. The thing about LT that bothers me, all right, is that He is glorified for being one of the three best football players of all time. You know, LT, Jerry Rice, Brown. But not a good person, man. I don't care what anybody says. He's not a good guy. Have you followed what's happened to him off the field?
I mean, about the young girls?
Underrated. Yeah. So let me get this straight. Giant fans, they had no problem calling us up when I was saying that Trevor Bauer should at least get a look when you actually follow up and look into the legal aspect of what was, you know, surrounding him. And Lawrence Taylor gets a free pass for multiple indiscretions.
Here's the thing.
Where's the consistency?
I don't think it's fair to say that the Giant fans can't enjoy the greatest player to ever put on a Giants uniform and one of the greatest players ever in the sport because they didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the bad people. They're just rooting for their team. He was a player on their team. Now, you want to say, is it right to just turn a blind eye and ignore the reality? Maybe not morally, but it's not fair to sports fans who care about our sports to not celebrate or embrace the greatness of Lawrence Taylor, the player.
And by the way, I'm not saying that they shouldn't give out the bobblehead. I'm not saying that.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not. It's just like, you know,
but it's
Lawrence Taylor gets a pass from everybody.
I don't know about that.
I mean, he does.
You think he gets a pass?
He's still playing golf. I mean, he's didn't seem.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Go to prison?
No, I'm not going down there.
Right,
definitely not saying that. But unless he did something that was found to be obviously wrong.
Different story. Yeah.
But it's amazing how, like, Lawrence Taylor, I don't know. You get a little separation, and maybe some people do in their own way, but, man, he was a dark figure.
He's clearly made a ton of mistakes.
I know, and they are seemingly all ignored.
But get the bobblehead. What day is that again? Go out there and get the LT bobblehead.
It's November 3rd.
All right.
Then there's a salute to service scarf, and then there's a Frank Gifford bobblehead.
There you go.
Giveaway.
Right. I'm looking forward to the Giants. I can't wait to go to the game Thursday night against the Cowboys. Looking forward to the season. Looking forward to Evan and Tiki coming up next from Giants camp. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove, Zoo as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.